Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. Watchman on the Wall calling all parishioners. Jesus Christ is coming back again. This is End Time Global Link Ministry. This is Elder G. Bizard coming to you from Watchman on the Wall, talking the good news. There is no good news better than the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to this earth. There is no better news than that Jesus Christ died and rose 2,000 years ago, been gone for 2,000 years, and he's getting ready to come back. So pleasure to be with you this evening, this afternoon. This is Watchman on the Wall, letting you know that Jesus Christ is still alive and he's coming back again.
Amen.
Very soon, sooner than I think he is. And Amen. The world seems like they're not interested in it because they're trying to drown it out. They're trying to delete it, but Jesus Christ is coming back now. Ain't no use to you saying that, well, I'm having a pretty good time now, and I'm enjoying trying to get over this coronavirus and seem like things are going to level out. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to level out. We're getting ready to enter into the 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet. Those that miss the rapture will face the 70th year, the 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet. I don't seem to understand. People don't understand what's going on because, number one, they're not interested in the return of Christ. They're more interested in his birth, which I am very interested in his birth. That's the past. Amen. That's done. Amen. The only thing you can do about that is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior because he died and rose again. But this time he's coming. He's not coming to save. He's coming to judge. And it seems like people are trying to enjoy Christmas. And really, Christmas is year-long. Christmas is every day. Christmas is something that you cannot put a pinpoint date, amen, on Christmas. Neither can you put a pinpoint on judgment because it may not come when you think it's going to come, but judgment is coming. And that's a warning to me. That's a warning to everybody on this planet. It seems like the church done went to sleep. Nobody's churches are closing up. Preachers are not getting behind the pulpit. People are not praying. They don't want to face reality. Reality is judgment is coming. Reality is Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son that through him you can have eternal life. And people seem like they're not interested in eternal life. They're not interested in their soul. They're interested in trying to please their spirit, trying to please their flesh, trying to please that ego tripping. Amen. They're trying to enjoy life without Christ. But let me tell you something. You ain't going to enjoy life without Christ because it's going to come to an end. The only thing that's going to last is the word of God. And I'm here to tell you right now. Amen. You need to check on yourself. Make sure you know Christ before you leave this planet. Whatever you do, don't let the devil tell you you ain't got time to listen to no preacher right now. I ain't got time for that. I gotta live my life. Okay, you go ahead and live your life the way you wanted to live it. But let me tell you, if you ain't living it in Christ, and when the sky busts open, and when Christ blows the trumpet, and the dead in Christ rise, and we that remain alive shall be called to meet the Lord in the air. Who you going to go to now? Who you going to go to? Who you going to believe now? Because it seems like there ain't going to be no wake-up call. Really, there ain't going to be no big wake-up call until the rapture occurs. And we're living in that time now where it can happen anytime. Going into 2022, there's not going to be no picnic. No. It ain't going to be no better. Why? Because the Bible says evil men shall wax worse and worse. Amen. I think I still have Brother Tim with me this evening. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to have prayer, and then I'm going to give it over to him because he do want to finish up a few touching on this year Babylonian system that's going on right now. All this corona and all this year Pope getting one world church together, all the Illuminati, all the coronaviruses, all the earthquakes, all the pestilence, all the storm, all this is leading up to that final episode in which Christ will remove the church because the church cannot exist. Let me tell you, the church cannot exist in the seven-year tribulation. They will be excommunicated. The body of Christ will leave this earth, and then the Jews will take over. When the Jews take over, that's where the party begins. And it ain't going to be no pretty party. It ain't going to be no patty cake, bake that man. It ain't going to be nobody jumping and shouting. It ain't going to be nobody saying, oh, we were looking for this. It's going to be a day of judgment. It's going to be a day of awesome judgment in which Christ judge the world through the Jewish people. The seven-year tribulation is the judgment upon the Jew and judgment on the Gentiles during that seven-year period. And a lot of people say, a lot of people think we're in the tribulation now. But no. We ain't in the tribulation now. But we're getting ready to step into the tribulation period. The devil is smart, and he's planning everything on the table. And people are sucking it up. Boy, they're eating everything. They're eating prosperity. They're eating good times and parties. And they're eating all that pleasure living and trying to escape this year's tribulation that's coming up on the earth. But right now, we realize that the church will not be here. I'll say that over and over. All this preaching prosperity and preaching money and preaching fame and preaching glory, hey, it's going to end. It's almost about to end now because preachers are complaining now. Ain't nobody sending them no money. Ain't nobody sending them big checks in. They're in the basket. They can lay back. But now they're crying. You got to give to the Lord. Lord bless you. Well, see, people are sick of that. I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it, man. If I could take all the money and give it back to the people who gave it, I would. Because no one has made a fool out of a lot of people. And if you know Jesus Christ, I know he ain't going to lead you in there to tell you to give your money to some crackpot. But I'm going to tell you right now, my friends, Brother Tim going to take it over. But I'm telling you now, 2022, it ain't going to be no picnic. It ain't. God knows it ain't going to be no picnic. So what we want to do, we want to have prayer. Brother Tim going to come on in here. And he's going to walk with us a little bit and tell us about this year, a Babylonian system that's working day and night. Amen. Father, we come to you one more time, one more hour, one more privilege that you give us to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice that you made on Calvary's cross. The blood that you shed 2,000 years ago has never lost its power. And, Lord, that's what we want to preach. We want to preach, save Jesus and him crucified, and then he's coming back to get a glorious church. He's coming back to get a holy church. He's coming back to get a sanctified Holy Ghost church. Why? Because the time is coming near. Israel is getting ready. We know the Jews are getting ready. The Temple Mount is being searched for right now. They're getting all the priests together. They're getting all the animals together. They're getting all the Old Testament rituals together. Why? Because they're planning to build a new temple. We know that, Lord. And we know that he's coming because you said you're coming. And we ask you right now, as we go into the word of God, that Brother Tim was just giving whatever you desire to give him, that we can awake the church out of a slumber sleep, that we can work the sinner man out of a slumber sleep and let them know when the sky crack open, Lord, they can't blame us. They can't blame us for not telling them the word of God. And we just ask you right now, go out of the word and come back, amen, not bored. That is accomplished what you have said. Thus saith the Lord God Almighty. In his son Jesus Christ we pray. And the church say amen. Brother Tim, roll with me, brother.
Amen, doctor. A good evening. Amen to everyone. Amen. Good evening. Amen to Watchman on the Wall, Elder Bazaar. We thank him for, amen, his word and his gift and the Holy Spirit and what God has given him to do to reach out with his knowledge, spiritual wisdom, and knowledge to the world. Amen. We are here to let you know that time is almost up. Amen.
Go up.
Amen. Since last year, amen, since we kicked off talking about revelation and eschatology, I've been thinking about, could this be a type? Amen. And if you know what a type is, amen, a type is something similar but will happen in the future. Amen. And one of my fears is that this could possibly be a type, But I don't believe it, that it is, because I remember my dad telling us when we were young, he said, every 2,000 years, amen, a great event happens. We are in that 2,000 years, amen.
Come on.
And I don't see the devil backpedaling now, amen. I don't see him bagging out. I don't see him bowing down. I don't see him bowing out, amen. I believe that we are near, amen, our salvation, amen. As Paul said, and as John said, Lord, come quickly, amen. We are looking for the return of Christ to come quickly, not slowly, amen. Because why?
Amen,
this
brother.
World has gotten so wicked, so evil, amen. And the youth is I hate to say it, not totally gone, but my gosh, amen. The youth have no disregard, no fear of God. My kids always tell me about all the kids at school. These are teenagers. These are not college students that are saying there is no God. They don't believe in God. The church has truthfully already fallen away. Amen.
Come on.
The Bible says over in Thessalonians, amen, that when that when the church has fallen away, that the son of perdition, that man of sin, will be revealed soon, meaning he's going to come on the scene soon after the trumpets blow. And, amen, remember that God is still on the throne and will always be on the throne forever. He is on the throne. He is in control. Amen. The Holy Spirit must step out of the way first. Remember, no dark, evil, demonic, creeping thing will set foot on the planet until Holy Spirit steps back. Amen. Those aliens can't come down. They can't do nothing. Lucifer and his kingdom is still subject to the Most High God. They cannot do anything until the Holy Spirit gives them permission. To the Holy Spirit, and he really won't give them permission. They already know what they're going to do. He's just going to step back and allow them, amen, with still limitations because God is in control. Amen. He's going to allow them to have their way. And, Lord, what a time will it be on the face of this planet, amen, that the people don't understand how disastrous it's going to be. People are so caught up into their jobs. They're so caught up into schools, education, money, business. But what about your salvation? Amen. It is not a time in our lives to neglect our salvation, which is near. Amen. Man, heaven is going to be so beautiful. I can't wait, amen, to be in eternal rest with my Heavenly Father, so I don't have to deal with, amen, I don't have to deal with the pressures of life, the stress, amen, and all
amen,
the things that we are going through. We are being persecuted, amen, and I don't know how the other saints feel, but I'm going to tell you how I feel, amen. I look for him every day, amen, because why? Amen, Doctor, I look for him every day.
Every day.
Amen. It ain't because my life is bad or anything. I enjoy my life. Amen. By God, I love my life. By God, because I'm a saint, I love my life. Why?
Amen.
I have a beautiful wife. I have beautiful children, grandchildren, family members. Amen. Good job. My wife is blessed. Amen. We're not struggling. Amen. We're not about to be on the streets or anything like that. Things are good. Things are great. Amen. And really, amen, it's almost, and this is not bragging, it's almost a shame to say this. Amen. It's probably the best that has ever been for Tim. Amen.
On,
I'm just going to be real with you. Amen. And it's only yet to get better. Amen.
Better.
My life can only get better. I am excited for tomorrow. You're not hearing me when I say, when I tell you Tim is excited for tomorrow. Tim is not down. Tim is not out. Amen. Tim can deal with this life, amen, with the Holy Spirit and with God, because why? I hold his hand daily, and I know that one day I will be with him, and I know that I have the victory. That's how I deal with my life on a day-to-day basis. Amen. I have the victory. Christ said in Revelation 1, he told John, he said he touched John on the shoulder. My God, hear what I'm saying. He touched John on the shoulder. That was to comfort John and let John know John, I am on your side. We are on the same side. He told John, he said, fear not. Ooh, this is God talking to John. What did he tell John? He said, John, fear not. Let's go to the scriptures because you know how I am. Amen. I like to prove the scriptures. Amen. I like to read the book. I want to show you because I always tell people, I always tell my church, you'll never say, be able to say that I said anything without showing it to you in the Bible.
Come on.
Amen. And this is what he told John. Amen. Revelation 1st chapter, verse 17. He said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Amen. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody faint or somebody just drop dead, but it's not the same when somebody trips and fall. It's not the same when somebody stumble. It's not the same even as people pass out. When you fall as if you're dead, you have no power. You have no strength. Amen. You hit the ground like a slab of meat. Amen. And John said that. Amen, doctor. This is what Christ said to him. He said, and watch what he said. Verse 6, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his what? Right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. That's the first thing Christ said to him. Now, if Christ told John to fear not, remember, amen, we are the church. We are the children of the Most High God. The tribulation is not for us to fear. Why?
Come on.
Because he is with us. Amen. He said, I will never leave you,
nor
forsake thee. Amen. We will not go through the tribulation. He says, I am the first and the last. Amen. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Now watch this. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. You better know where you stand. Amen. You better know where you stand. Amen. And let me share this with the saints because I kind of feel like a lot of people are just not aware of where we are. Amen. We are in the last days. Amen.
Come on. We are
in the last church. Amen. This is the last of the church. The church is about to go home. We are in that blessed time to where we may receive the return. We may see the return of Christ. Do you know how much of a blessing that is? Amen. To actually see Christ come back and get the church when all these things going on, all these people dying, all this killing. Every time you look up, every time you turn on the news, killing, death. Every time you turn on the social media, death. And you used to see all this death, amen, but it seems like it's just double time. Famous people dying, well-known people dying. Amen. The devil is just getting them out of here as fast as he can. Why? Because he knows his time is almost up.
Yeah.
And he's not sparing one soul to be spared to turn around and be saved. If one thing Satan hates, he hates when a person changes their life and gets saved. Satan, can't stand that. The demons of hell can't stand that. Amen. The demons that are roaming free, the aliens, amen, the demons, the fallen, they can't stand. They want as many souls to suffer in the lake of fire as they want you to suffer with them. Amen. But this is what Christ has done for us. He has given us the victory. Amen. And I don't believe that this is a type. I believe that this thing is actually about to be over. Amen. Because why? Amen.
Come on.
The church is not paying no attention. You can go to church. Amen. Some people are talking about it, but amen. I believe all pastors that say they believe in God need to be preaching this message that the King is coming. The time is almost up. Amen. We can't play with this. Amen. Now watch this. I want to share this with you. Revelation, the third chapter. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to look at verses 14 and 15, amen, of Revelation, the third chapter. This is written to the church of Laodicea. This is what it says. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right. In other words, to the leadership of the church, to the overseers, the bishops, the pastors, the ministers, the evangelists, the ministerial staff, anyone that teaches and preaches the gospel, that teaches and preaches the word, send them this message. It says, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of Yahweh, God of heaven. Verse 15 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou was cold or hot. In other words, I'd rather you just either be out there in the world or I'd rather you just go ahead and just get it right. Now, watch what verse 16 says. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Amen. Some people believe that this is referring to believers. Amen. Now, in my personal opinion, I don't believe that this is to people who have yet gotten it right. This is why Christ sent the message to John to warn the church. Now, why would Christ need to warn you? If he's warning you, that means you're not doing something right. And this is why he said, I will spew you out because you have opportunities. Amen. Out of my mouth. That's what he said.
Yeah.
The churches and the pastors have been warned. They have the opportunity. And there are pastors, man, you all just, y'all not hearing what I'm saying. There are pastors that are actually gay and know what they're doing behind the scenes, sleeping with one another. Lord have mercy. Cheating, stealing, doing everything that they ain't got no business doing. The church is cutting up. Amen. Behind the curtains. Amen. But Christ and God is so merciful. He's giving you the opportunity so he won't spew you out because you are lukewarm. What does that mean? Well, to be cold, to be lukewarm, and to be hot. And I'm going to explain it to you. To be cold means that you are a non-believer. You have chosen not to believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior. You don't believe in God. You don't want nothing to do with God. You're out there in the world. You're doing your thing. You're partying. You're satanic. You're Luciferian. Or maybe you just don't know no better, but you have rejected God. You have made a choice that you are not ready. You don't want nothing to do with God. That's what cold means, according to Revelation, the third chapter, amen, verse 15 and 16. Now, what does hot mean? Because we're going to come back to lukewarm because the subject is the church being lukewarm. Now, hot means, man, you on fire for the Lord. You're preaching the word. You're studying your word. You're loving. You're showing love. You love the brother and you care for the brother. Amen. You are doing God's will. You are watching and waiting for Christ to return. And even if you say, hey, you know what? Whether he returns today, if he don't return in my lifetime, I'm still going to keep watching. I'm still going to stay faithful, going to do the works of the Lord. I'm still going to witness and save souls. Amen. I'm going to do what God has called me to do. This is the hot. Amen. This is when you are a believer. Amen. Not non-believer. You are a Amen. Believer, you are saved by the grace of God. You receive salvation through faith. And when the trumpets blow, or whether you be on the ground or in the earth, amen. The Bible said the dead in Christ, Paul said the dead in Christ shall rise. And those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Amen. That is the hot. Amen. That's who's hot. Amen. Brother, me and you are hot. Amen.
Hot.
We are in the Lord. Amen. Now, lukewarm.
Lukewarm.
Amen. Are the people who have more opportunity than the people outside the church. You say, well, brother, why do they have more opportunity? These are the people who go to church week in and week out. Amen.
Yes.
They're sitting in the church. They're listening to the word. They're hearing the word. And they have the opportunity to receive salvation.
Come on,
but they had made up in their mind, amen, that they want to be faithful to God. They're going to church. Going to church is just like going to a sporting event. It's just an event to them. It's just a thing to do. It's just a social gathering. I've met people like that that go to church and say, I just go to church because my wife go. I just go to church because my husband go. I'm just here just to be here. Or they don't quite understand salvation. Or maybe their pastor's not teaching the rightly divided word, and they're just in there. Amen. But the Bible says to study to show thyself approved, because God's not going to hold the pastor, amen, an account for your soul as much as he's going to hold you an account for your own soul. Because when I came to church, amen, and I kept hearing a bunch of things, I said, you know what? I'm not going to leave my salvation to another man or woman. My soul belongs to Tim. And I'm going to study. I'm going to pray and ask God for spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of his word. And he gave it to me. Because over in the book of James, the first chapter, it says, God withholdeth not to any man, woman, or child that ask it. If you ask it, God will grant it. He will give you the wisdom and knowledge that you need. Amen. To know his word. Amen. I'm about to pass it over to you, brother. I'm about to finish up this lukewarm. Amen. I want to show you this. Amen. The lukewarm people are still unbelievers. You got people that's playing church. We know people right now just playing church. Amen. We've actually heard people say stuff like they going to act like they going to shout. What in the world? You are playing with God. When you were talking about you going to act like you going to shout, yeah, man, there are people in church that are playing with God. These are your lukewarm Christians, your lukewarm churchgoers. Amen. I call them churchgoers. That's all they are. They just churchgoers. They ain't made up in their mind that they're going to be serious and live for God. They are playing church. They don't have the love of God in their heart. Amen. They don't have the love of God at all. And when the trumpets blow, they will still be here on the earth. They will be left behind. Amen. If you passed away from this life and you ain't got it right, you ain't made up your mind that you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. If you believe that salvation is by works, the Bible says you are fallen from grace. There is no excuse. The same Bible that you read, I read. The same opportunity that you have to understand the Bible, I got the same opportunity. I ain't get nothing no different from what anyone else has opportunity to read and understand. But I'm going to give it over to you. And when you turn it back over to me, amen, we're going to go over and finish.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. The opportunity that this church that we are in today, this church right now, we need to be preparing the saints. This is what we are doing. We are preparing you to go home. We teach you salvation, the plan of salvation. There is no excuse. There is no misunderstanding, no misinterpretation. We teach you what salvation is, and we teach you how to receive salvation. So there won't be no excuse. In fact, God has made salvation so easy and simple for the saints, for the people. Amen. He's made for the world, he's made salvation so simple that his son died on the cross. His blood. Lord have mercy. It's by the blood.
Yeah.
It's only by the blood and by the grace of God that we are saved today, that I'm standing before you right now preaching this message and giving you this word. It's only by the blood. Amen. Go ahead, doctor. I'm sorry. I mean, take so long. Go ahead, doctor.
Oh, man. You hit the nail on the head. Hot. I'm gonna have to walk on that a little bit. You need a hot and a cold and lukewarm is considered hypocrites. So you got a lot of hypocrites. Lukewarm. That's a hypocrite. That's somebody professing that they know Jesus Christ with their mouth. They have the formations of saying that they're Christian, but in their heart they have not had a heart change. They have not been washed in the blood that they carry the name of Jesus. In other words, the devil can say Jesus, but he can't live like Jesus. A lot of people say Jesus, and say, oh, Lord is good and this, and they live like the devil. That's a hypocrite, because whenever you profess that you know Jesus Christ and you really don't know him, God considers you as a hypocrite. You have to have. I'd rather for you to be cold. I mean, don't profess something you don't have to try to put on the front for the people. He said, I would be cold. If you're going to live a sinner, go ahead and live in sin. You know?
Amen.
I'm not asking you to go, but don't be half-hearted. He said, if you're a Christian, be hot. But
that's
he said
right.
the hypocrite and those that are cold and lukewarm, he said, I'm going to throw you out of my mouth. You made me sick. And if you ever taste warm coffee, it's a mess. It makes your mouth taste ugly. And when you try
Amen.
To live, when you living for Jesus Christ and you cuss, you cheat, you backbite, you whoremonger, you prostitute, and a lot of these churches, non-denom and denomination, all these people that goes in to the altar and they be praying and shouting and speaking in tongues and doing all that, you know, stuff that you say, ooh, they really must be saved. Well, shouting, speaking in tongues, doing all this stuff don't mean you're Christian. The real meaning of a Christian means this. It means that if you know God, if you know Jesus Christ, if you know his Holy Spirit, if you know about his love, the Bible said if a man say he loved God, oh, my God, if you love God and hate your brother, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. There's a whole lot of folks going to church ain't nothing but liars. They're lying because
right.
they say they
Amen.
Love God and they hate their brother. You have not had a divine experience with Jesus Christ because the Bible said, not me, the Bible said God is love. I mean pure love. You love everybody. And
Amen.
I'm a witness.
Come on.
I'm a witness. I love everybody on this planet. My soul loves every soul on
Amen.
This planet. I only can do that through Jesus Christ. You know why?
Right.
Because for God so loved the world that he gave his what? Only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him shall not perish. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Because he loved. Love. Love. And that's what the world is missing. Because there's so much hate in the church. I'm scared. No, I'm not scared. But I wonder how people feel when they leave the building, how they can talk about and lie on each other and doubt each other, and they get up before God and try to sing a song. And just because you can sing and got a pretty voice, that don't mean you have salvation. Because the
Amen.
Bible says, Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. That goes for preachers, deacons, choir members. That goes for bishops. That goes for every human being on this planet. Because some people think they got a special place in God's kingdom and don't know Jesus Christ at all. Woo! Because the devil can do something. The devil can do one thing. Here's one thing the devil cannot do. He cannot live holy. You hear what I said? The devil cannot live holy, but he can claim everything else. He can claim I speak in tongues. Look at me, I'm shouting. Look at me, I can sing. Look at me, because he got talents too. What you talking about? That man, ooh, that Luciferian, that devil, that Beelzebub, that sucker can do miracles. He can make fire come out of heaven. He can do all kind of witchcraft. He gonna do all the kind of sorcery and putting hicks and jinks on people. He's a miracle worker in iniquity. He can do in iniquity. And iniquity says, people say, oh, I like that. Ooh, that's beautiful. I like that what he's doing. They've been deceived. They've been lied to. Because let me tell you, that last church that the brother just mentioned, Laodicea means that this church is in a place where they are playing the hypocrite. They are
that's
playing
right.
Styles of trying to profess that they know Jesus Christ. And guess what? Guess what? Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And they would say, Lord, how many of you prophesied in your name? We did miracles in your name. We pay our tithing in your name. We go to church. We dress up. Oh, my Lord, we look so wonderful when we go to church. But Lord says, look, it's not in what? It's not in the head. It's in the heart, out of the mouth. Out of the mouth is the issue of life. There's some folks that say they say they cuss like a fish.
Amen. Come on, Dawson.
They drink like a fish. There's some people
Amen.
Who go to church and talk all kind of yang like the Lord done did this for me, and they'll cuss you out before you even turn your back. There's a lot of
That's
jealous
right.
folks. There's a lot of envious people in church. There's a lot of oh Lord have mercy. There's a lot of prostitutes in church. Oh come on, y'all.
Amen.
Just because you go to a building and sit down, that don't mean you holy.
Amen.
That makes me. I go in a mechanical garage and I go in there and sit for a little bit. I don't come out a mechanic. when people go to church, they think because they go to church, they come out of Christian. But let me tell you, before you can ever think about becoming a child of God, you got to go to Calvary's cross. You got to go to the cross. You got to go to the cross, right? You got to go to the cross and do what? Repent. Repent because you were born a sinner. You're shaped in iniquity. Did your mother conceive you? There's no man on this planet that was born without sin. No man is perfect on this planet. No man is without sin because all that sin has come short of the glory of God. The only man, the only God man. Woo! The only God man that did no sin, no guile was found in his mouth, was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And Jesus Christ was born sinless. He was the lamb slain before the foundations of the world. And you got people today, boy, they have been deceived by Lucifer. And so this your Laodicean church. This brother brought up something here. Amen. I got to work with this a little bit. Amen. Laodicean church. You'll see in there where it says the Laodicean church age, the last church age of the church ages, is it says Laodicean. Listen to what the Laodicean church says. The Laodicean says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art what? Wretched.
Amen.
You're wretched. Number two, you're miserable. Number three, you're poor. And I ain't talking about poor in materialistic. I'm talking about poor in spirit. Don't have no spirit at all. Don't have no conceit of who God is and what he is and what he can do. Have never had an experience with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what it said. He said, and you're blind. And you're naked. Now, you know something.
Right.
You see somebody going down the street naked with no clothes on. You're going to call the police and everybody else. The man is naked. The woman is naked. Why? Physical nakedness is bad, but spiritual nakedness is even worse. Because when spiritual nakedness occurs, that means you are dead. That means that you are cut off from God. That means that you don't know God. That means you need a covering. And the only covering that I know from eternity to eternity, eternity to eternity, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ that can wash your sins away and cleanse you and put a new garment on you, so when the world sees you, they will talk about you. They will lie on you. But when Christ sees you, he sees a sinless soul, a sinless spirit, because the blood of Jesus Christ don't cover your sin. It takes sin out of you. Now you become a sinless person according to the spirit and to the soul. Oh, I hope you can get a grip of that. So this Laodicean church, they talked about John, said that you're, number one, you are miserable. You got some miserable folks in church. You got some wretched folks in church. You got some poor folks in church. You got some blind people. Don't even know the tip of their nose. You got some naked people. I mean, spiritually naked. Ain't got a thing on. Ain't got nothing.
That's right.
To say that Jesus Christ took away my sin. Never. Don't have a confession. Don't have a testimony. Don't have a witness. Never witness to nobody. Ain't thinking about themselves all the time. Always want to be on the front line. They ain't got nothing and they're miserable. This here church is consisted of unborn again non-believers that's trying to profess Christ without knowing Christ. This church will go into the tribulation period. The tribulation period, and this church will be manifested through what? The 17th chapter of Revelation. This church is found riding a scarlet beast of that Babylonian system, that economical system, that political system, that religious system. You find this woman riding up on the scarlet beast. The Laodicean church will be on that beast riding with that woman because of the teaching that this woman had. Now, if you go to the 17th chapter book of Revelation real quick, give you some inspired scripture in the book of Revelation where it says this, and the woman was arrayed in purple. That's the rich. She's rich. She got a whole lot of money. A scarlet cover red bloodshed. This here church is the church of Luciferian demons.
Amen.
The devil. This church is the non-believer. That's neither hot nor cold. And this lukewarm will go into the tribulation because they don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Come on,
meet up with this year great. Oh my God! Let me back up a little bit. Arrayed in purple, scarlet color, decked with what? Gold.
Yeah.
Gold and precious stone.
Yeah.
And pearl.
Come on, doctor.
Having a golden cup in her hand. It didn't say
That's
full
right.
of the Holy Ghost. It didn't say nothing about full of the Holy Ghost. It says full of abomination.
Amen.
And filth of her fornication. Three things that would mess up a church and have a church looking like the world. That's number one. Sex, money, and prestige.
Amen.
Number one is sex, because a whole lot of fornication, a whole lot of adultery is going on in our churches today. Preachers are going with men are going with the relatives. People are all messed up. People have that form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. And look, it says, having a golden cup. Now, gold is the one precious metal. And here she got a golden cup. The cup looked good on the outside. The false church look good on the outside, but let's see what's in the cup.
Amen.
Full of abomination, full
yeah.
of church pornography. Oh, yeah, church got pornography.
That's right.
The Catholic Church is full of little whores walking around, call themselves nuns. You got these cardinals walking
Amen.
Down.
Come on, doctor.
You got the Pope that's legalizing all kinds of witchcraft in the church. Oh, yeah, church. There's a church. The Pope now is having confrontation with aliens. Oh, y'all don't understand what I'm trying
Come
to tell
on,
you.
Doctor.
We were blind. The devil right now is in cohesion with the Roman Catholic Church. The Pope has had confrontation with these aliens, and these aliens are telling them what to do and how to do it. To deceive the people, and people believe
right.
the Pope Jesus Christ when he's nothing but a liar and a false prophet. And folks are believing that men that come talking sweet words and kind words, that they're all right, but they're liars. They're quacks. They're jackleg preachers. They're jackleg missionaries,
right.
choir members. All of them jacking off. Ooh, y'all have to use my expression. But that's what they're doing. They're committing fornication and filth.
Right.
And up in her forehead, listen to me. A name written, mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, or the mother of prostitution. Prostitution has been in the church ever since the church came into existence. And when it came to existence, it came to a church called Pergamos. Pergamos. What's Pergamos? Pergamos is a church. Constantine introduced paganism. Paganism came in, and when paganism came in, they brought these whores in to the church, and they said, this is a way to mix Christianity with whoredom, and they mixed it in there, and they made Christianity a state religion. In other words, the Christians today don't believe that the true Christian can live a true Christian, so they have tried to mingle it and tried to degrade Christianity, but you can't degrade
That's
Christianity.
Right.
Because Christianity is not a religion. Woo! Christianity is just not a forethought. Christianity is not an afterthought. The Christianity is the originator, is God himself. Because when God became flesh, he gave his name a own name. And his name was Jesus Christ. And when you come to Jesus Christ, you come to the word Christian. Christian means a relationship. Good God Almighty, Christianity means a redemption power of the blood of Jesus Christ. When 2,000 years ago, he died on Calvary's cross for the sins of the world, then men wouldn't have to go to hell. But men today say,
Amen.
Well, I don't mind going to hell as long as I can have a good time now, as long as I can try to fool God or try to trick God. have the form of garbage, but I ain't got no power. I won't worry about hell until I die. And most people don't worry about dying until they get ready to die. But I'm not worried about dying because I'm all ready to die. Because Jesus Christ died for my sin, sanctified my soul, filled me with the Holy Ghost. And now I can move on that one day I'm going to see. So this church that we're talking about today is called the World Church. The World Church. And it says on this, the abomination of the earth. This church has done so many abominations. Number one, homosexuality. Number two, lesbianism. Number three, incest. Number four, porno. Number five, drugs come to the church. Number six, good God Almighty, all kinds of sex experiences and all kind of worshiping. They drink blood. They offer sacrifice to Moloch in the church. They're worshiping. And I know people don't see this today, but people actually don't worship idols like they used to because idols have become the human being. And
that's
you know,
right.
People don't worship a football player, a basketball player.
Yeah,
they worship
come on, doctor.
All this music that's been playing in the church. They wish all things that satisfy their soul and their spirit, but they don't want to accept Jesus Christ. That's why I know what a true church is like. A true church is a person that claims the blood of Jesus Christ. I know what I'm talking about because, number one, I claim the blood of Jesus because that's the only way that a man can be sanctified. I claim the blood of Jesus because that's the only blood that's pure and free from sin. I know, good God Almighty, the blood of Jesus can save your soul because God can't sin. God can't do no sin. He got all power in heaven and in earth is in his hands. Because if Jesus had any kind of taint in his blood, any kind of sin in his blood, the whole world, good God Almighty, would die and go to hell. Good God Almighty.
Right,
his man. Blood, his blood. His blood is what can save you from your sin. It ain't going to be your works. It ain't going to be your looks. It ain't going to be your
vocation.
It ain't gonna be your status quo. It ain't gonna be the color of your skin. It ain't gonna be nothing to deal with that. It's gonna be dealing with the blood of Jesus Christ. Because without the blood in your body, listen to me now, without the blood that's running through your veins in your body right now, if you didn't have the right amount of blood, you would be weak or you would die. You got to have a blood system in order to live in a physical life. If they drain that blood from you, you will die. And let me tell you, if you born in sin and sick in iniquity, no, you're born dead. And you need life. And the only blood that can give you life is the blood of Jesus Christ. So look here, look here. If you die without Jesus Christ in your heart, in your mind, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all sin, if you die without accepting Jesus Christ is your personal Savior and being washed in the blood. Guess what? When you die, I guarantee you with all that I've got, I guarantee you with the Bible to back me up, I guarantee you if you leave this planet in the time of the tribulation period and you ride that beast with that great whore, and you receive that number of the mark of the beast in the middle of the tribulation, and you ride with this here Antichrist, because this Antichrist is going to destroy the church. The devil's going to burn his own church. He's going to put them in a place where he said, if you don't fall down and worship me, if you don't fall down and honor me, if you don't pay homage to me, I will set a mark upon you, either on your forehead or on the back of your hand. And he does not require a blood sacrifice. Woo, listen to this now. The devil don't have a blood system. He can't have a blood system. He's an anointed cherubim. So he cannot acquire a blood system. So he cannot die for you. He couldn't die for you even if he did have a blood system. Number one, because he's a wicked, low-down, cutthroat, fallen cherubim, and he's out to destroy every human being on this planet and damn their souls into hell. That's why he don't want nobody to sing the song of Jesus Christ about the blood, about the resurrection, about his love, about how good he is. He don't want the world to know about that. So what he does,
that's right, amen.
All kinds of little gimmicks, all kinds of little play toys in your life to make you neglect and forget about. You got a soul. You got a soul. Let me tell you. Right. And I'm going to give it up to the brother. But this is stirring up in my heart. You got a soul, and you only got one soul. You ain't going to come back again as a calf or a monkey or a baboon. When you die, you're
going to Amen. Come on, doctor.
You're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die, brother. You're going to die, sister. You're going to die, liar. You're going to die one day or the other. And if you leave this planet without soul salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell is wide open for you. Wide
yeah.
open. And the world today is going to hell. Now, I hate to say this, but it's true. It's going to hell in a handbasket. Going
Amen.
To hell in a handbasket. Because they don't want to listen to a real preacher. They don't want to listen to the real truth. They don't want to listen to the word of God. They don't want to listen to the sayings of Jesus Christ and the prophets. They don't want to listen to that. They don't. The America has almost thrown the Bible away, and that's why we have a storm. Tornadoes, earthquakes.
Yeah.
That's why we have a second variant and all kind of diseases. That's why we have a corona. That's how we come in all kind of diseases. God is judging the world now, and he's warning this generation. Wake up, church folks. Lazy, no good for nothing preacher. You're going to hell, and you're going to take a bunch with you if you don't start telling the truth and repent of your sins and tell the world there's a heaven to gain. And a hell to shun. And Jesus Christ is going to let nobody come and enter the kingdom of God. Nobody will enter in except to be born again. You've got to be born again. And the world
Amen.
Is saying, oh, that's a bunch of hogwash. That's for old ladies and old men, people who are getting ready to die. The young people say, I know you got to be crazy. I'm going to enjoy my life. I ain't thinking about no Jesus Christ. And by the way, if he's such a Jesus Christ, where is he? Because God Almighty,
right.
He's all around you. Hey, come on now. You trying to make an excuse. But let me tell you something. I don't told you. Brother Tim, no, I don't told you. Wherever you
Amen.
Go, in this life or the life after don't go to hell. I'm going to say it loud and clear. Don't go to hell. There's no way out. There's no exit. There's no intermission. There's no peace. There's
right.
no love. There's no joy. There's no picnics. There's no pool halls. There's no whorehouses. Don't go. There's nothing there. What? Misery and agony and gnashing of teeth. Don't go. Don't let nobody fool you. Don't let nobody suck and jive you. Your life is short as you can name it. It's like a blade of grass. You're here today and gone today.
Amen. That's right.
More quick than old folks. Drugs.
Amen.
Alcohol. Misery. They're running and trying to see the world, going to different places, trying to see the world before they die, where you can see all the world. All you
Amen.
Want, but if you die, go to hell, you're going to see something you don't want to see. You're going to see stuff that you say, yeah. I'm the fool. I'm the dumbest fool I ever. Man, how come I let the devil jive me out of this? How can I let the devil? Why? Because you wouldn't listen. You thought because
right.
what the preacher did. You thought because you were cute. And Miss Pedicure, Debonair, Mr. Handsome, and think you a gift from heaven, and think you can't go to hell. You can go to hell quicker than a drunkard. The folks that think they're all this way, because a drunkard can repent, but if you don't think you never done nothing wrong, you ask yourself, what I got to repent of? Well, number one, you in sin. You're born in sin. You're not a sinner. You're not a sinner because you sin. Listen to me now. You're a sinner because you were born in sin.
That's
you
right.
without Christ. If you don't know Christ, you're a sinner. I don't care how sweet you are, brother. You can give your coat to the world. You can give your money to the world. And folks are giving money, think they can buy their way. You can't buy your way to heaven. No, brother. Uh-uh. And if God would let one sinner in, you would make God a liar. And God
That's
can't
right.
lie. The only way you can get into the glory is what Christ did 2,000 years ago. The world should be bowing their knees. Listen to me. On Christmas Day, which they say is the 25th, but really it's not the 25th. The whole world should bow down and thank God that he sent Jesus Christ and take Christmas more serious. This is a serious thing. This is something that's not for Santa Claus. It's not for reindeers.
Amen.
You party, you get drunk. In the first of the year, you don't even know where you came from or where you're going. Things are going to be worse. You can't wash your sin away with a bunch of women and liquor and drunkards. You got the only way you can wash your sins away is through Jesus Christ. But if you go to hell, I thank God it won't be my fault. Because me and Brother Tim is telling you the absolute truth. If we don't tell you nothing else, we are telling you the absolute truth from the Word of God. Because a lot of people are going to be riding with this whore in the book of Revelation. They're going to join this one world church. This one world church will be led by a pope. The pope will be the false prophet, and the Antichrist will be the one that leads the world in thinking he can bring peace to the world. And the world, and I'm going to give it over to the brother right now, the world will say, yes, indeed, this is the man we want. We don't want Trump. We don't want Obama. We don't want no president. We don't want nobody from that's in politics. We want the devil. That's what they're saying. We want the devil. Well, the devil is coming with somebody, and he's gonna be a handsome king that's alive now, today, and he's waiting for what? He's waiting for that specific moment that the rapture will occur and war will break out. And when war break out, he's going to try to soothe the people, make them believe this is going to be an age of peace. And the world will follow head over heel. They're going to say, yes, this is Jesus Christ, especially the Jew, because the Jew is looking for their Messiah. The wrong one, but they're looking for him. When he come, he's going to bring a false peace. And he's going to plunge the world into a holocaust. And you talking about breaking in stores and now people shooting each other, can't have school because people are mowing down the children. You talking about that's bad? You talking about tornadoes and hurricanes? And you think that's bad? You wait till God let these scorpions out of the earth. Like chapter Revelation, give it over to the brother. Because I want him to say some more words for me. I know he got to go, but I want him to say some more words for me because he got me stirred up. Amen. He got my blessed heart.
Oh, glory.
This year, Antichrist will say, I'm the man. The world will say, I know you the man. You're handsome. You're tall. You're debonair. You know how to talk and do great orator speeches. And even you got power to make fire come out of heaven, and you got to change the time, and you're going to explain away the rapture. You're going to do all that. You convince me that the UFOs ain't got nothing to do. The UFOs is the blame for the rapture, which will be demons, and demons are going to work on this earth like 24/7 when the tribulation comes. Those that's left here will have to face these demonic spirits, and they're already on TV. So what I'm saying, my friends, don't be caught off guard. Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, it's going to be a twinkling of an eye. I'm going to be gone forever to be with the Lord. Don't miss it. Brother Tim, walk with me, brother.
Amen, brother. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. All praises and glory to the God of heaven. Amen. All the angels, amen, and all the saints will be with him, and we will praise him for all eternity. Amen. You cannot prepare for what's coming. Amen. But what you can do is prepare, amen, to become saved and to prepare to miss what's coming. Amen. The way that you do that is by salvation. Amen. I want to let you know before I go. Amen. How can I escape such great tribulation that's coming to the world? Amen. Romans 10 chapter, verses 9 and 10. Amen. It's known as the plan of salvation. I'll say it again. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. Paul wrote it plain and simple. Amen. Paul shared it with the saints. Amen. How you can become saved. Amen. And live with joy and peace for all eternity. Amen. I don't know who don't want to take part in that. I've never understood it since I've been saved. Amen. In fact, I always say, the looking back at the day that I got saved, I always say I wish I had done it much earlier when I was a teenager, when I was a very, very young man. I wish I had done it at a much younger age, but nonetheless, I'm glad to be saved. Amen. Going on to, over 21 years, going on 22 years. Amen. Amen. And if Yahweh be his will, that he bless me to live and see. Amen. April 15th, 2022 will be 22 years that I've received my salvation. I thank him every day for my salvation. Amen. Doctor, I praise him for it. I'm grateful for it. I don't take it for granted. I don't take it lightly. Amen. Because it is a great gift. Amen. Salvation is a gift. That's what it is. It is a gift. A gift is something that you don't give back. The person who gives a gift does not ask for that gift back. Amen. When we buy a kid something for the holidays or their birthdays, we don't give it back. Amen. Amen. We may chastise them, but we don't take the gift back. It's theirs forever. We gave it to you with the intent that it represents forever. Amen.
Amen.
So Christ did this for the bride. Amen. That's the whole purpose of a marriage. A marriage is supposed to be, amen, forever. Amen. Amen. And you know what I mean when I say forever. Amen. For as long as you're alive on this earth, amen, that's what forever means. Amen. Until you can no longer be with one another. Amen. But we know that we're going to be with Christ for all eternity. That is the promise and the power of God. I can't wait to see how beautiful heaven is going to be, to walk on the streets of gold. Amen. Brother, I was sharing that with my wife just the other day. I said, sister, can you wait? Amen, because I can't wait, amen, to walk on those streets of gold. Amen, to have that garment that's going to be so white, it's going to be brighter than snow. It's going to be so bright. Amen. I was reading the book of Enoch, and they're talking about how the angels, how they have this great glory, this bright glow. Amen. That's so bright. Amen. So beautiful. Heaven is going to be so beautiful. Amen. The streets of gold, you're going to get a crown. You're going to receive rewards. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Amen. He said that, amen, if it was not so, I would not have shared it with you. He said, I would not have told you so. Amen, that there are many mansions. And I can't wait, amen, till he bless me with my rewards for all eternity. I don't have to worry about no headaches, no high blood pressure, no stress, no job, no dealing with people at the bank. Hey, man, I ain't got to deal with people in life that irritate you and aggravate you. Hey, man, make you want to act up, but you know you can't. Hey, man, you want to cut up and you know you can't, or you know you're not supposed to. Hey, man, but we know that we are human, amen, and we deal with things just like the next person. But we know that Paul talks about this salvation. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read it for you real quick. We're going to touch on some more scripture. Amen. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Isn't that powerful? I know for a fact that's powerful. Amen. It is the plan of salvation that delivers man from everlasting destruction. And we are grateful to the Most High God for his grace and his mercy, for sharing his love, for sharing his salvation, for giving it to us, amen, when he didn't have to. But because he loved us so much, amen, he wanted us to be with him for all eternity. He sent his only begotten Son, amen, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, amen. I want to share another scripture with you, amen. I was reading this earlier. I got to share the scripture with you while I'm on the plan of salvation. So I want you to understand how easy and how simple it is to be saved. See, you was taught wrong when your pastor taught you that you had to jump over hurdles, climb mountains, swim through the ocean. Amen. Climb Mount Everest, come back down. Amen. Walk on lava. Amen. Swim through a lava lake. And they make up all this stuff for you to get saved. And that is not scripture. That is not true. If man would just let go of pride, see, that's the problem, amen. That's why most folks can't get saved, because they're so prideful. They're so stuck on themselves. They're just so into self. They won't get out their own way, amen. But if you get out your own way and just let the Holy Spirit in, I guarantee you, you won't regret it. I just share with you early how I wish I had became saved when I was a much younger young man, amen, when I was a teenager back in elementary. Amen.
Yeah.
I want to share with you First John, the fifth chapter. Amen. And I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Again, that's First John, the fifth chapter, verses 1 and 2. Watch what it says. Watch what it says. It says, whosoever. What does that mean when it says whosoever? That means whoever. Whoever, as long as you got breath in your life, as my daddy say, and you was born of a woman, amen, you have the opportunity, amen, you are a seed of man, amen, you have the opportunity to receive salvation, amen. It don't matter if you're a prostitute, it don't matter if you're a thief, it don't matter if you're a beggar, it don't matter if you're a murderer, it don't matter if you're a prostitute, amen, a drug dealer, it don't matter what, it don't matter if you even say that you sold your soul to the devil, because guess what? Your soul don't belong to the devil anyway, because guess what? He ain't the one that gave it to you. Yahweh gave you your soul, so it belongs to God, amen, and he gave it to you, amen. But if you choose to be foolish with it, amen, Lord have mercy on your soul. There's nothing we can do, but we want you to become saved tonight because we love you, amen. We know that sometimes the word is tough, amen, but they always say that's just the way it is, amen. And the Holy Spirit always tells us, amen, it's going to either draw you or drive you, amen. And tonight we want to draw you to the cross, because it's only by the blood that we are saved, amen. Now watch what it says. Whosoever, watch what it said. It didn't say work. It said whosoever believe it, that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. If you want to be born again, if you want to be saved, that's all you got to do is believe. Stop all this nonsense that folks teach you that you got to work. I had somebody say, well, oh, but brother, there ain't no but. I don't see the word but nowhere in that scripture, nor do I see the word but over in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. It ain't no but when it comes to salvation. It says all you have to do is have faith. In fact, the scripture even proves itself by saying without faith. It didn't say without works. It said without faith, it is impossible to please God. You got to have faith to believe. So please, God, because if you don't have faith, you can't have the works. They're not ready. You can't have the works without the faith. I always tell people, put the horses in front of the carriage, and you may get somewhere. Amen. Now watch what it says. Whosoever believeth that Yahshua is Christ is born of Yahweh, and everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Amen. Watch what verse 2 says. By this we know what? Here it come that we love the children of God when we love, amen, God, and keep his commandments. The two greatest commandments is to love God and to love thy neighbors, thy love thyself. That's all God has commanded you to do.
See, amen.
Heaven is not going to be tedious to serve God. People think that being in heaven, you got to do this, you got to do that. God ain't never said that. God said just love. By loving, don't you know that you are giving your greatest service to God when you love? God said, all I want you to do is just love. That's it. Because what? God is love. So if I love you like I love myself, that's all God wants you to do when you get to heaven is just love. People try. I've heard pastors stand up in church and say, oh, well, you get to heaven. I said, brother, where you see that in the Bible? Because what you talking about, I ain't never read. The Bible don't say that. God said that the greatest two commandments is to love thy God. Amen.
Yeah.
Give him the Shema and to love him with all your might. Love him. In other words, love him with all your being. And I love God with all my being. Amen. And he says to love thy neighbor is thy love thyself. But if I love you, I'm not going to talk about you. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to despise you. I'm not going to cheat you. I'm not going to mistreat you. That's because I what? love you because I love me some Tim. Amen. If I love me some Tim, that means I love you too. And I'm going to give you the same respect that I'm going to that I give to myself. In other words, like they used to say, the golden rule is what? Do unto others. Come on, man. You would have them to do unto you. That's all we ask. That's all God asks. Treat your neighbor as if he was yourself. And you know you ain't going to do nothing bad to yourself. Amen. You ain't going to take a pie and smash it in your own face. Amen. So if I ain't going to take a pie and smash it in my own face, I wouldn't take a pie and smash it in your face. Because why? Brother, I love you like I love myself. Sister, love you like I love myself. And I want you to become saved. I want you to know that God wants you to become saved tonight, to let go of this world. Don't get so wrapped up in it. I shared with you earlier, hey, life is good. Life is great, and life is good, amen. But I'm not so wrapped up in this life into the things that God has blessed me with, my home, my cars, my job, my income. I'm not so wrapped up into this life that I'm pushing back the return of Christ. No, if Christ come back the very instance, I am more than joyful. Ooh. Amen. He said we are more than conquerors, amen. He has given you eternal life. You will receive the greatest gift, Paul said, in a twinkling of an eye, faster than you can blink, faster than you can think. Amen. You can receive salvation for all eternity. Come on now. You better think about this thing and know what you're doing out of it. Amen. Because he wants you to become saved. He wants you to be part of him. Amen. So I had to share that scripture with you to let you know what? Amen. You have victory in Christ. There is no other way. Amen. You can't go around it. You can't go under it. And like the old school saying, you say, you can't go over the top. Amen. Yeah. You got to go through Christ. You must come to the cross.
Come on.
To receive salvation if you want to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen.
All right.
There is nothing hard about God. There is nothing difficult about God. God has made this thing easy for you.
Yes.
Christ already been to the cross. Christ has already did the impossible. I couldn't go to the cross. Lord have mercy. If it was relying on me, we'd all be doomed. Amen. Well, I'm just going to tell you right now, if it was left up to me, everybody would be in hell. Amen. Because, amen, Lord. Amen. I'm just going to tell the truth, doctor. If it left us to be, we all going to hell because you want to know why. Amen. Amen. I know how powerful we can get as men. Amen. We say we love one another, but amen. But nothing is like the love of God. See, the love of God let them spit on him. Amen. The love of God let them beat him. The love of God let them lie on him. Amen. The love of God let them pierce him in the side, beat his back, amen, open, like the brother said, blood, amen, just running down. See, a lot of us, we had that type of power because of our pride. We said, no, I ain't taking this, amen. You hit me one more time, amen. You got one more time to hit me, amen. You can rest believe I'm going to raise my hand, and the angels in heaven will come down here, and they're going to wipe all y'all out, amen. Like I say, brother, if it was left up to me, amen, we be in some trouble, amen. But because God's love is so great, amen, we can't understand the love of God because of the blood of God, amen. Come on now, amen. We are saved by grace, amen. There is no other way, no other name under heaven or in heaven are we saved by, amen. We thank him for his grace. We thank him for his mercy. We thank him for his love because there is no love in comparison in this universe, in this life or the next, that compares to the love of God. Amen. We thank him for his love. Amen. Because what does it say over in 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 7? It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of Yahweh and knoweth God. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
You know what that means? Amen. I'm finna get ready to get out of here, brother, and turn back. Amen. I got to share this. Amen. But watch this. Amen. I remember when me and some church men, we was on our way to go do some voluntary work. amen. And on the way, you know, amen, there's conversations going on, amen. And I decide, the Holy Spirit lit on my heart to say, ask them this question, brother. And because God was dealing with me that week on this question. He said, ask your members to see where they are at. Ask them, how do they know that the God that they serve is the right God? That's a legit question, brother. And is it not? That's a legit question. How do you know that you're serving the right God? Because other people think Buddha is the right God. Some people think Muhammad and Allah is the right God. Amen. Some people think some of these Jehovah's Witnesses. Amen. The Mormons. The Pope. All Mother Mary, these folks claim, they think their religion is the right religion, and they have deceived millions of people into believing that their religion is the one and only true religion. Amen. But I'm here to tell you today how you can distinct your God every other God. See, the example of Israel was that God loved them so much, no matter how many times they turned on God, God was still there with them.
Yeah.
He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. And do you know that God is still not through with Israel? Man, you better hear what I'm saying. That's what
brother.
This last 7 years is about. He is not through. After, despite all what Israel has done, God said, I'm still not through with you. I'm going to give you 7 more years, amen. And then in the end, I'm going to raise you up, and you're going to reign with me, amen. We're going to see King David. We're going to see Moses. We're going to get to see all the saints, all the Old Testament saints, all the saints throughout the church. We're going to get to be there. We're going to get to talk with them. We're going to get to enjoy them. Amen. But I have to ask this question. I said, how do you know that the God that we serve is the right God? Amen. Well, of course, you know, amen, not a trick question. I wouldn't try to make it difficult. But sometimes, you know, we overthink things. Sometimes we overlook the obvious. Amen. How do you know that your God is the one and only true God? I said, because our God is the God of love.
Love!
He is the God of love. I ain't talking about this fake stuff.
Uh-uh.
I ain't talking about these false demigods that they slapped up and say they the God of love. I ain't talking about them nuts. Amen. We ain't talking about them. That's all they are, some bait, some false God. We ain't talking about them. We talking about the God of true love. In other words,
true.
The God of peace. Come on, man. Like, look at here. Let me get some scriptures. Amen. Let me show you what our God is. He's the God of. Amen. Let me see if I can find it, Doctor. Amen. Let me see if I can look in the scriptures. Amen. If not, I know you can help me with it, brother. But I'm going to see if I can find it. Amen.
All right.
Amen. All glory be to the Most God. Amen. Most High God. Because you know what? I don't want none. Amen. When I say I don't want none, I don't want no credit, amen, because
amen.
I know how good he is, amen. I don't deserve no credit, amen. Like what Paul say, amen. He said, I preach Christ, amen, and him crucified. It ain't about me, amen. It's about God, amen. It's about love, amen. It's about him. Now watch what it says over in Galatians, the 5th chapter, amen, verse 1, verse 22. Watch what he said. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Let me show you what he's the God of. He's the God of love, amen. See, do those other gods, do they love? No. Their love is based off a condition. Their love is based off what you can do for me. See, I don't need that type of love. I don't need you to love me one moment. Come on now, but the next moment you hate me. I don't need that type of love, amen. I need you to love me whether I'm dirty or whether I'm clean. I need you to love me, amen. But watch what it says right here. He said that he is the God of, he's the what? The Spirit is what? Joy. He's the God of joy. Don't you know that when you're stressed, when you're down, that when your bills are due, don't you know that when things ain't going right between you and your significant other, don't you know that God will still give you joy? Brother, I find it to be the most difficult thing for me to understand. And that sometimes I can be down and out. I can be really going through some things, but somehow, some way, he still brings me to smile and laugh.
Come on,
I still have joy. Come on, y'all don't know what I'm saying. I still find joy. Why? I don't think about contemplating taking my life. Why? Because I got joy. Because I got love. Because he loves me. Amen. That's the only difference between me and a person that don't believe in God. Is that I just simply believe him. And these things he bestows upon me because why? His Holy Spirit is indwelling in me. Ain't nothing good about him. It's only the good in God that's in me, amen, that makes me become a good person and do good things, amen. Now watch what he says. Watch this, amen. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Peace.
Peace.
Man, when I was a kid, when I was a child, my dad used to always talk about peace. When I was in junior high, I became a teenager, high school, grown man. I said, what is this man talking about? Why he always talking about he loved peace? Man, doctor, I'm going to tell you, the world will wear you out. Amen. You
Amen.
Think you're tough. But, man, the world is evil, wicked, will chew you up and spit you out. The world will let you know that they do not love you. Amen. You better hear what I'm saying and know what I'm saying to you. Watch this. Amen. I know what my dad's talking about now. Ain't nothing like peace. Ain't nothing like coming home. The house is quiet. No yelling. No screaming. No cursing. No drugs. No drinking. No whoremongering. No lying. No stealing. No cheating. Ain't nothing like peace. Boy, I understand what Reverend Jackson was talking about now, doctor. You best believe he used to preach a word when he said, hey,
come
nothing
on, now.
Like peace. Amen. I understand where you're coming from now. Then the Bible says long-suffering.
Oh,
brother, don't we know about long-suffering, brother?
Long-suffering.
Man, we'll sit back and watch things, and we'll 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 watch things. Doctor, long-suffering. Amen.
Look.
We go through it, doctor. Amen. And a lot of times it takes the saints some time to really get upset or to respond. Amen. Sometimes we'll deal with things for a long time. Sometimes we'll deal with things for years, doctor.
Yeah.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit keeps us in peace, keeps us from stress. And I'll say, you know what? I'm just going to give that to God.
Yeah,
I'm not going to worry about it. That's long-suffering. Amen. Watch
amen.
This. Gentleness. Amen.
Yeah,
is that what that word says, brother? It says gentleness. Amen. Amen. We ought to be gentle. Amen. In fact, Paul talks about how we ought to preach the word in love. Amen. Truth and speak the word in truth and in love. Amen. So we ought to be gentle with the saints. When we are talking to people, amen, we are not to just whip them over the head. Amen. The Bible says speak the truth. Be truthful.
Yeah.
With them. Don't lie to them. But do it with love. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Make sure that you do it, but do it with love. Amen. Don't be mean. Don't be out of line. I've seen some saints get real ugly with people. Amen. They run them out of church. They don't never want to come back to the church again. They just done with church folks. But see, the Bible said that we are to practice what? Gentleness. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Doctor, I'm going to turn over. I'm going to get out your way, doctor. But I'm almost done. Watch me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Watch what it says. And it, amen, doctor. Watch this. Watch what it says. And goodness. Man, it's good to treat people good. It's good to help people out when you can. And they don't have lunch money, buy their lunch. Amen. Not even ask for the money back. Amen. It's good to be good to one another.
Uh-huh.
Don't you like when somebody treats you good? I know I like when somebody treats me good. Amen.
All
I don't
right.
need all that being mean and ugly and strife and I don't need all that. I like to be good with people. Be courteous.
Yeah.
Speak to people. I see some saints that see you in the store and will go the opposite way like they don't even know you. I said, Lord have mercy. And this person said they're a child of God. Okay.
Ooh.
Amen. The Bible talks about having faith. This is the fruit of the Spirit. We got to have faith. We got to keep the faith. Amen. We got to believe. Amen. We got to believe that God is what? Going to return to get the church. We got to believe
Amen.
That God will deliver you out of and keep you in any situation that you may go through. Amen. The Bible says meekness. Amen. Be meek.
Amen.
A lot of folks don't want. Amen. Meekness. Amen. Sometimes folks don't want to be meek. Amen.
No.
Amen. You want to be meek. Amen. You don't want to stick your chest out and be boastful and brave, you know, and act like it's all about you. No, sir. Amen. Let's be meek in the Lord. Amen. That's what God wants us to do. Be meek. Amen. And that's what we want. Amen. Be, in other words, be what? Be gentle. Amen. Did we just say, see, we saw gentleness up there just before, right? Be quiet sometimes. Be submissive. Amen. Don't stick your chest up. Don't be loud. Amen. But sometimes you got to just sometimes when people be ugly to you, be meek. You ever seen a saint just be meek when somebody being mean and talking ugly to them? They just, yes, sir. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You're right. Just be meek. Be humble. Don't worry
Amen.
About it. Amen. Just be submissive. Don't worry about it, folks. Amen. The word says temperance. Amen. Amen. Let's be what? Temperance. Amen. We know that's big, doctor. Amen. To be temperance. Amen. Because some folks are not temperance. Amen. Some folks they're trying to cut up a little bit. Amen. But amen. But you want to be what? Practice restraining oneself. Amen. Temperance.
Yes.
Amen. Abstinence. Amen. Amen. So watch this. It says, against such there is no law.
No law.
Don't you see that? That sounds like how Christ walked. See, if we just be obedient to the word and just do what the word say, life will be so much peace. We have so much peace in our neighborhoods. Amen. In our city, the world will be a much better place. Amen, doctor. Amen. Because the Bible says, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. That's the word. Amen. Doctor, I'm going to turn over to you and close out. But I just want to say, amen, we're going to meet again. Amen.
Yeah,
this Saturday and this Sunday. Amen. This weekend I'll be back on. Amen. But before I turn it loose and turn back over to the brother, I just want to say, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. Amen. Elder Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall is royalty. Amen. We just want you to just obey the word and remember these scriptures right here in Galatians, the fourth chapter, verses 20 through 26, and just walk in the Spirit.
Walk
Don't
in
let
the
enemy, amen, just hold his hand. Hold his hand, and God will lead you in God. And that's it. That's all you got to do. People are trying to act like being saved is so hard. I said, no, it's not. What's so hard about loving your neighbor? Tell me right now, what's so hard about love? You love your dog. That's what I can't understand about this. You got folks that are love a dog but hate their brother. I have yet to figure that out. How you love the dog? How you love animals, but you don't love your neighbor?
Lord, have mercy.
Made in the image of God. Doctor, what I said, Lord, have mercy. People say, oh, it's hard. It ain't hard to love. See, if
Lord,
I love you, I'm not going to hurt you. That's just that plain and simple. Amen.
Amen.
Doctor, amen. I love you. Good night. Amen. We'll be listening. Amen. You take care, and we'll be talking to you soon. But if not tonight, we'll be talking to you on tomorrow. Amen.
Right.
God bless y'all.
All right. God bless you. God bless you, Brother Tim. Yeah, thanking the Lord for Brother Tim and his inspiration word from the Word of God. We're so glad to be with you in this time and hour that we're living in. It's an hour that is very, very, very critical. We're living in an hour where men are leaving this planet every day, dying everywhere. And we realize that what we were talking about, the seven-year tribulation, I'm going to close with these words in the next 20 minutes, the tribulation period. which will be coming up on the earth very soon, we already getting a sense of some of the problems that will occur during the tribulation already, earthquakes, pestilence and diseases, bacteria, coronaviruses, the dividing of the home and the rebellion of the youth, the calamity that's hitting this planet. Every day is hitting the planet. And men are trying to escape the wrath of God, but there's no escape only through Jesus Christ. This tribulation period is a period of 7 years, and this 7 years will be revealed very soon. It can't be revealed now because of the body of Jesus Christ, the church that Jesus Christ set up on this rock. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Make no difference what the church goes through. The devil will not overthrow the body of Christ. The church is indestructible. You cannot destroy the body of Christ. You cannot destroy the soul of men that Christ them saved. So, to give you confidence in what I'm talking about, the body of Christ is indestructible. Nothing can defeat it. The only thing the devil is, he's leading people away from the church that don't know him, Christ. But the born-again believer, those that have accepted Jesus Christ, is indestructible. You cannot destroy a saint of God. In other words, no man can damn another man's soul that belongs to God. God can destroy both body and soul. Man can only destroy the body. So no man, no entity, no demigod, no demon, no fallen angel, nothing can destroy the body of Christ, which is the church, born-again believers that have accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by repenting of their sins and turning from their sins and have a contrite spirit of a broken heart and a sorrowful heart that they have sinned against a holy God. God is holy, holy all the way around. He was holy before the world began, and he will be holy after heaven and earth will pass away. God will still be holy. He cannot compromise with unholiness. He cannot pet unholiness. He is holy, and anything that has communication with him has to be holy. So man has to be holy, got to be holy. Bible says, follow peace with all men in holiness, but without, no man can see the Lord. So without the holiness of God in you, through the blood of Jesus Christ, no man can see God. No man can approach God. No man can ever be abode with God except he be holy, holy as God is holy. So the blood of Jesus Christ is the only holy power that has enough to blot out sin and to cleanse your soul and your heart. And by faith, you believe. And by faith, you believe. By mouth confession, you accept that Jesus Christ, what, is God Almighty. And that Jesus Christ died on the cross as God, man. The human part of God died. In other words, Christ is God, nailed Jesus Christ to the cross, Christ died. That soul, that spirit, which was God himself, left the body, went down into hell. Only man that ever went to hell, he came up out of hell. Nobody else ever went to hell on their own and came back on their own. Only Jesus Christ did that. Mohammed didn't do it. The Pope didn't do it. The preachers didn't do it. The deacons didn't do it. The choir members didn't do it. No denomination didn't do it. No man on this planet ever died for anybody and went to hell and came back on his own power. No man ever resurrected himself but Jesus Christ, God Almighty. He paid the penalty for sin. He died for every human being up on this planet. And he wants to save everybody up on this planet. But the only way that a man can be saved is he's got to be willing enough to repent. If a man don't repent of his sin, he will die and go to hell because he didn't turn from his sin. If you don't turn from your sin, you're lost. If you love sin, you're lost. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're lost. So God made a substitute, Jesus Christ. The sins of the world were laid upon him. And by the sins of the world laid upon him, he knew no sin. He did no sin, but he became a sin offering. All the sins of the world were laid on him. He took the blame. He took the crucifixion. He took the whipping. He took the spitting. He took the kicking. He took the nails. He took the crown of thorns. He took the ridicule, the embarrassment. He took everything and nailed it to the cross, in which the whole human race was at blame. The whole human race is nothing but murderers. They're killers. The whole human race became rotten through the fall of Adam and Eve through Satan. And the only way that they can be saved from the rottenness and the degradation and the antagonism of sin is through the blood of Jesus Christ. No man can ever come and save himself. No man can ever do any works and works and works to save himself. It took all that Jesus had to give, and he gave his whole self and took the punishment and got back up out the grave. And the penalty for sin was paid for in full. In full. You can't add nothing. You can't take nothing out of it. And so for 2,000 years, Christ has been gone from this planet, and the church was founded in the day of Pentecost. And from the day of Pentecost until this present day, the church has been on the planet for what? 2,000 years. 2,000 years is almost up, because every 2,000 years something happens. Every 2,000 years an event happens. From Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. From Abraham to the birth of Jesus Christ, 2,000 years. From the birth of Jesus Christ until the second coming of Jesus Christ, 2,000 years. We are at the end of the 2,000 years. And at the end of 2,000 years, Christ will appear. He will appear in the portals of glory at the second coming. The second coming is when Christ comes back to the earth in full dress with all the saints. That's at the end of the last 2,000 years. He will come back, and when he comes back, he will judge the world. He will meet all the nations that have rebelled against him at a valley called Megiddo. He will come back with the saints of God, those that were raptured before the end of the tribulation. They will be raptured, and the tribulation cannot start until after Christ calls the church home. And since we're living in the last church age, we ain't got too many more days, we ain't got too many more hours, and we don't have too many more years. 2021 was a hectic year. Coronavirus, and people didn't know if they're going to live or die. People killing and murdering. 2022 is going to be even worse. in the government, in the political government, in the religious government, and wars are going to be breaking out pretty soon, and these wars going to end and going to end up at the Battle of Armageddon. The tribulation is going to happen in this aspect. We are now living in the last church age, Laodicea. The last church age is now, and the church has fallen away from the faith. So those that are getting saved need to get saved now, because you being in the church membership ain't going to get you to heaven. Going to church ain't going to get you to heaven. Being good ain't going to get you to heaven. Doing nice things ain't going to get you to heaven. You must accept Jesus Christ. Listen to me. After the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, the rise of the Antichrist as leader of a confederacy of 10 Western nations, Revelation 13 and 1. The 10 Western nations are known as NATO, the European Common Market, are the 10 Western nations that have been in existence ever since 1948 to 1986. They got 10 Confederate nations. The Antichrist, after the rapture of the church, the rise of the Antichrist, but the rise of the Antichrist can't come on the scene until after the rapture. The rapture is waiting for the time in which the body of Christ will be missing. And Antichrist will rise only after the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church occurs, the Antichrist rises. When he rises, he signs a seven-year peace pact, peace contract with Israel, Daniel 9:27. He signs a contract with Israel to protect them for 7 years. Israel will make preparations to build a third temple in Jerusalem. When they build this temple, they are building it for the Antichrist, because the Antichrist will make a peace pact and say that they can build this temple. The Jews will be extravagant, overwhelmed, and fall in love with the Antichrist, because that's what they want, to build a new temple to offer sacrifices as they did in the Old Testament. Because the Jews have refused to accept Jesus Christ. They still accept Judaism, but Judaism has been eliminated by the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He made the ultimate sacrifice. There's no more sacrifices of animals that can cover sin. The only thing that can take sin out of your soul and cleanse you purely, sanctify you purely, is the blood of Jesus Christ. And Christ suffered 2,000 years ago. So the Antichrist signs the peace treaty. After he signs the peace treaty, the world goes into a rejoicing time. They will consider the Antichrist as being Jesus Christ. After the 42 months, the first 3 years of the 7 years of the tribulation period, 42 months, the Antichrist will break the contract. Daniel 9:27 again. He breaks the contract. When he breaks the contract, Russia invades Israel from the north, 38:15-16. At that time, when Israel is at rest, so this will not happen before the peace contract. After the peace contract is signed by the Antichrist, Russia, the kings of the north, Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal, the world will be at a semi-peace. And Russia will have an evil thought that will come across Premier Putin. Putin is the red horse in the book of Revelation, the sixth chapter, the second verse. He is the red horse coming from the north, making an attack upon Israel. Russia needs oil. They need fertilizer. They need cattle. They need food. They need potash, which is fertilizer to grow food. And Putin is planning to attack Ukraine. Ukraine. They want that border. They want that position because Ukraine is north of Israel. And they need to come down from Russia, probably through the mountains. And so they need Ukraine to come down through that area to make an attack up on Israel. So Putin is making a way to invade Ukraine. When he invades Ukraine, and if he can't invade it, he's just going to take it and use it to come down through there so he can get to Israel. Russia invades Israel from the north, 38:15 Ezekiel, at a time when Israel is at rest, peace. The Antichrist will see that this invasion, and he can't do nothing about it. And Russia will have the greatest military machine that is able to attack Israel from that point. China is too far away to make an attack. The United States is too far away. They wouldn't have enough time to go over there and stop the battle. Nobody, no nation will be able to stop Russia from invading Israel. Nobody. Nobody in that area will be able to stop. Nobody will be able to stop that red horse, which means bloodshed. This bloodshed, they will bring their armies, their tanks, their men, their horses, their weapons of war up on the holy mountain of Israel. And just as they get to the pinpoint of to invade Israel because they don't want to destroy it with bombs, they're going to invade it and take over the land, but they won't be successful because, number one, God Almighty. You hear what I said? God Almighty will stop Russia from coming down from the north to invade his people. Because no nation on this planet will never overthrow or destroy the Jewish people. Never, never. And that's been proven down through the annals of time. Every Gentile nations up on the planet have tried to eliminate the Jewish people, and guess what? They failed. If you don't believe me, talk to the Egyptians. If you don't believe me, talk to the Assyrian Empire. If you don't believe me, talk to the Babylonians. If you don't believe me, talk to the Median Persian Empire. If you don't believe me, talk to the Grecian and Alexander the Great Empire. And if you don't believe me, talk to the Roman Empire. And if you don't believe me, talk to the revived Roman Empire that's getting ready to what? To rebound and come back and take over the Middle East. And so Russia will make a vast attack that the army will look like a cloud of dust coming down from the north, and it will try to enter and overthrow the Jewish people, and God will stomp his feet in the circuits of heaven, and there shall be an earthquake, there shall be fire, and there shall be brimstone, and there shall be hail falling upon these armies that will be coming down from the north, and it will be so great an army, and God himself is going to slaughter 5/6 of the Russian army. That means over half of the Russian army will be destroyed by God Almighty. God Almighty is going to stomp his feet in the Middle East. It's going to be on the newspaper. It's going to be in the news media. It's going to be around the world. He's going to shake the heavens and the earth. Why? Because you're messing with my people. These are my jewels. These are the apple of mine eye. These are my people through the seed of Abraham. These are my people that wrote the Holy Scripture. These are my people that was a nation that nobody ate, nobody could destroy, nobody could burn, nobody could eliminate. Even Adolf Hitler and Mussolini and the nations of the world have tried to destroy the Jewish people, and they have been decimated. They have been annihilated. And now Russia comes with bold and brass attitude to try to eliminate God's people, and God is going to put a hurting on them. If you want to read the rest of it, read it in the book of Ezekiel, the 38th and the 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel tells you that the dry bones that you saw in the valley is a loss in the house of Israel, and I'm going to restore in the land. And now the Jews are in the land of Israel, and they're preparing to meet the Antichrist, preparing to meet the Antichrist. They tell me Russia's going to have an evil thought that comes to their mind to go down and conquer Israel so they can rule the world from the Middle East. And God says, that's enough. I'm going to destroy 5/6 of the Russian army. It's going to be such a great battle until it's going to take 7 years to bury the dead. It's going to take the eagles and the buzzards and the condors to eat the flesh that's going to be scattered all over the land of Israel. Oh, yes, he is. God is saying, I'm the Lord God Almighty, and there's nobody else beside me. For I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning. I am the last. I am the first and the beginning. And nobody can outdo me. Nobody can withstand me. Nobody can beat me. Nobody can overthrow me. For the Lord God Almighty is going to deliver the people of Israel, and Jews will come back into the land. That's what's getting ready to happen. That's what's getting ready to happen. 2022 is a year of Bible prophecy being fulfilled. And already, Bible prophecy being fulfilled up to the T. The next great thing that you will probably hear before the rapture is the Jews have the spot in which they're going to build a temple. The Jews will say, we have found the Ark of the Covenant. The Jews will say, we will have two red heifers. The Jews will say that we have our priests and we have our golden cups and vessels, where we are going to offer sacrifices of animals in believing that's the way to salvation. But the animals of turtle doves and goats and bullocks and sheep is no longer in use. Jesus Christ said, I came, and when I came, I eliminate the first covenant, and I made a second covenant, and the second covenant is with my blood. I did it. I did it, I did it. I did it on Calvary's cross. I did it when they hung me high and wide. I did it when I dropped my head between the locks of my shoulder and gave up the ghost. I did it when they put me in the grave. I did it on the third day morning when I got up with all power in heaven and earth in my hand. And when I got up, I stayed up on earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And I stayed up on earth, and then I told the disciples to go back down to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. For he gonna send you some power of the Holy Ghost, and you shall be a witness for me and to the utmost parts of the earth. And then after that, I'm going to be gone for 2,000 years. But at the end of the 2,000 years, I'm going to come back and get my church. And after the church, I'm going to have the tribulation period to come on. And I'm going to have Lucifer bring his thing on. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the devil going to bring his false Messiah in the middle of the tribulation. In the middle of the tribulation, the false Messiah will be slaughtered. He will be killed and assassinated. And he will lay in the tomb in Jerusalem for 3 days and 3 nights. And after the third night, he will get up out of the grave. How is he going to do that? Well, Lucifer, Luciferians, Illuminatis, all these wicked organizations, amen, they know about it. They know what they're planning to do. They're planning to make sure that Lucifer come down from heaven. And he'll come down from heaven in the 12th chapter of Revelation. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, his angels, and Michael cast all the wicked angels out of heaven, and the devil came to earth. The devil will come to the earth in the middle of the tribulation period, because now he's the prince power of the earth. But when he comes down to earth, he's going to be able to incarnate himself in the Antichrist that was assassinated. And by him being assassinated, he will do a great phony jackleg resurrection. He's going to raise the Antichrist from the dead, and the Antichrist become the beast. When he become the beast, that's where men, women, boys and girls will be stamped. Pewter chip in the middle of the tribulation. The dragon, the wicked one, the son of perdition, will mandate, you hear what I said? He will mandate that every human being on the planet receive a mark on their forehead or on the back of their hands. And those that won't receive the mark will be slaughtered by the guillotine. And the guillotines are already in the United States.